Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to ask our worship team just to sit tight for a second. You know, today's a special day. He's risen. Somebody's got to get excited today. He's risen. My perspective has changed. God has opened my eyes in a new way. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Somebody say there's joy in God's house today. I'm going to give you the opportunity to show how much joy you have in this house. The worship team's going to prepare to sing House of the Lord again. And I just feel like we've got to get out of our pews. You got to come around the altar and just celebrate that joy today. You got to celebrate that joy, church. Let's come celebrate all the joy that you can give today in this house of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Surely in this place,
we won't be quiet.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Shout his praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we shout out praise today to you, Lord. Father God, we believe we are Easter people. We believe, Lord God, that you rose today. We celebrate that. Lord God, everything inside of us, Lord God, we are Easter people, Lord. Father God, I pray right now for this service and everybody here and everybody watching online. Lord God, let today be a special day. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that you open up our eyes. I pray, Lord God, that this is a day that we see a difference, a different perspective, that our eyes see something different that we never saw before. Lord, for those that walked in here or tuned in online, Father, Lord God, let them see with new and opened eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give them a shout today, church. Give them a shout. Say to somebody, Jesus is risen indeed, as you're going back to your seats. Yes. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Wow. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning. If you're watching online, we are so appreciative that you decided that you were going to spend your Easter Sunday morning stay here. My wife, if you would, stick around here for a second. Don't go anywhere. Changing things up this morning. I'm confusing you. I am. Hey, we are in a special service today. It's Resurrection Seed Sunday. We've been doing this for quite a while. We believe with everything in us that God gave his best that we celebrate today. Yep, and we're bringing our absolute best offering. As Pastor Mike talked about, we're bringing our best offering. I'm going to ask my wife to take our best offering and go put it in the Resurrection Seed box. If you, at any time, as Pastor mentioned, you want to go bring your Resurrection Seed offering, thank you, dear, and put it in the box, you can do that at any time. It is no disruption. Right at the foot of the cross, you can bring your offering, and you certainly will watch what the church does and participate in the survey that Pastor Mike talked about. It's online at seapoint.church. We are going to sow a resurrection seed offering and give our best that you're giving today to either someplace in our house here, or as the survey is coming in, it looks like the majority of you are saying, nope, we want to sow it to somebody outside or a ministry outside of our church. We're going to do that. And so that's what today is all about. So, folks, if there's anybody, feel free to do that. Dear, would you like to say anything? You don't have your microphone, so I guess you can't.
I can't.
But you can. You scream really well.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter. Thank you. Thank you, dear. Folks, I got a quick video here I want you to watch, so sit back and enjoy. This will certainly introduce our day.
We all want life. We want a quality of life that really matters. Followers of Jesus wanted that too, so they left everything and followed him. They watched him love the outcast, confront the religious elite, and proclaim the kingdom of God to anyone who would listen. And then they watched him die. But just when all hope was lost, they watched him rise again. And somewhere along the way, they discovered what they'd been searching for all along. They discovered abundant life. So what about us? We've become exhausted by temporal things that promise meaning and purpose, but in the end, deliver nothing. What we really want, what we really crave, is life. The very life that Jesus walked out of the tomb to invite us into. So on a day like today, a day when we celebrate Christ's victory over the grave, how do we discover what we've been searching for all along? May God give us eyes to see.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, I've got eyes to see today. That's why I'm so excited. God's given me a blessing, and he gave that to me when I was 9 years old. He did it again for me when I was late in my college years. God just gave me new eyes to see. And we're in a series here today at Cross Point Church called Easter Rescue. We are Easter people, rescued By Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we all know that Easter is the celebration of the resurrection. It's the celebration of the resurrection. That's why it's on a different day, right? Each year, it's a celebration day. And we are giving our deposit of our seed offering in celebration of that day. So today, I'll ask you to help me preach. You can help me preach today. So I don't mind, I never do, if you hoop or holler. I don't mind if the college students start screaming at me. I don't mind if you say an amen. I don't mind if you say he's risen indeed, because church, he's risen indeed, right? Hallelujah. Yep. This is a lively bunch. We know that. So if you're in here and you're a visitor, don't worry. No one's going to, you know, bump you or anything. But we just believe and we're excited that we are rescued on Easter, right? We are in this series called Easter Rescue Through the Eyes of Easter People. I'm an Easter person. I'm an Easter people, and many of you are as well. And that series wraps up today. It's all about how the people that were part of the resurrection story viewed the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it affected their lives, and then how it relates to us today, how it affected my life and how it affects your life, and how you became an Easter person and the perspective that you have being an Easter person. If you want to follow along today, church, you can do that. The sermon note QR code is on your bulletin. You can do that or do it at any time after today, but the sermon notes are available. You'll see that on your bulletin. I just want to give you a quick rundown for those that weren't here the last few weeks or missed a week. The first week we talked about the resurrection is the greatest show on earth. And now I'm going to tell you, it's just the greatest show in the universe, right? It's the greatest show. And we have been using people, right, the Easter people, to tell the story and how it relates to us. We use Mary Magdalene on that first Sunday. The first Sunday, and you know the story. Mary Magdalene had seven demons possessing her body. Jesus showed up and rescued her, delivered her from seven demons, and she made a decision to follow Jesus, invested his ministry, not only her time, but her money, and she was all in. She was just sold out. And God blessed her with the ability to go to the empty tomb and witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ personally. We called her one of the certain women the scripture talks about. The Bible says certain women did great things, and there's others that didn't. We know that they didn't because they're not included in the certain women. And Mary Magdalene taught us seven things that first week. She taught us how to have gratitude or be gracious. And that's, what can I do? As Easter people, we always say, what can I do to help? And this church is the most helpful, servant-led church I think I have ever seen, because we just get our hands dirty and we serve. Mary Magdalene did that. We do that here. She taught us to be resilient, very resilient. Don't let your current situation dictate your future. Possessed by seven demons, she wasn't going to let that stop her. Jesus delivered her, and now she's resilient. She's moving forward. She taught us how to work, kingdom work, regular work, whatever. She taught us to be good stewards and invest in the kingdom and work. She taught us how to lead. Mary Magdalene led women. Right to the tomb she led. She taught us how to be courageous. Do the hard things. Just do the hard things and be courageous. She taught us emotion. She knew how to be humble and have emotion. And she knew how to have difficulty in her life and that emotion. She taught us to be strong and vulnerable at the same time. She showed her true colors. She didn't have problems with letting people know who she really was. She demonstrated her true colors in the time of crisis. She demonstrated who she was during a time of crisis. Many of you have reached out to me and talked to me about that. Thank you so much. The second week we talked about Jesus is always in the middle. In your situation where you're the most fearful, Jesus is always in the middle. And a lot of the times we don't realize that Jesus is in the middle. Now, that week, we used the disciples as our example of Jesus being in the middle. Scripture taught us that on Resurrection Sunday, in the evening, that would be this evening years ago, the disciples were all huddled together with their families in a house, in a room, and they were just kind of fearful. Jesus was on a cross, and now he had disappeared, and they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where the body was. There was just a lot of fear and confusion. They didn't know, and right in the middle of their conversations, Jesus appeared. I believe it. He just appeared there and started having a conversation with them. Now, I don't know, you're going to be around your Easter dinner today, luncheon or dinner, and you'll be talking about the service and things that happened. And if Jesus showed up in the flesh, I got a feeling you'd be a little rattled. I got a feeling that that would take you by surprise. But the scripture taught us that his presence calmed them. It calmed them. His very presence calmed them, and they started not being as fearful. And then the scripture says when he started to talk, it calmed him more. It was kind of like a step-by-step process. He shows up, and oh my gosh, is he a ghost? No. He starts to talk. No, he's here, right? He's here. And then he said, take a look at the wounds. It is me. It is me. Let's just look. It is me. Calms them even more. And then he gave them a mission. He spoke to them and said, I got a mission for you, just like he speaks to you and I with a mission. That calmed them even more. And then the scripture says he breathed on them the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them to go out and speak the mission. Jesus showed up in the middle. We had a great day that day. The next week, third week, we talked about, I've seen enough. Church, I've seen enough. There's been enough confirmation in my personal life that I know that Jesus Christ is Lord and King of the universe, that he died on a Friday, he rose on a Sunday. I don't need any more confirmation. I've seen enough. And we talked about that day, and we used Doubting Thomas as our example. Why? Because he was skeptical, like many of us have been in our lives, very skeptical. He wanted proof. And that skepticism defined him, and that's why the word doubting is in front of his name, Doubting Thomas. But, you know, we taught you that day that he was really honest. And he was really committed to Jesus. But because he was a little bit skeptical, he wanted proof. We now call him Doubting Thomas. And I got a feeling that we could put the word doubting in front of a lot of our personal names because we've done the same thing. There is absence and unbelief in his life. He was absent that evening on that Sunday. He was not in the room with all the disciples, minus Judas. He was not there either. The other 10 were hunkered down wondering what's going to happen, and he wasn't there. He was absent. That absence fueled his unbelief. Because if he would not have been absent, he would have been there when Jesus showed up. But he was absent. And absence fuels your unbelief. If you're absent from the things of God a lot in your life, you're going to be fueling your unbelief. If you show up on a regular basis, whether it be church or ministries or outreach or whatever, classes on Wednesdays or journey night or whatever, you're going to find out that your presence fuels your belief. But Doubting Thomas's absence fueled his unbelief. The greater the absence, the greater the unbelief. But his friends loved him. So kindness showed up, perseverance showed up, persistence showed up, and they went looking for him. I taught you that. How would you like to have those kind of friends? I wasn't in church on Sunday, and my friends showed up at my door at 12:05. We missed you today. And that's what they did to Thomas. They went looking for him. The Bible says they found him. They went looking for him because they loved him and they were kind and they were persistent. They invited him to come back and they worked on him throughout that week. And then one week later, they came back together in the same house at the same location, the same people. The difference was Thomas came with them and Jesus made another appearance. And that appearance allowed Thomas to have an encounter with the risen Savior. Because somebody was kind and somebody was persistent. And now he was present in the room to have an encounter. And Jesus was there now. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to give you now an invitation. You're a week late, but the invitation is still just as good today as it was a week ago. He says, touch me. You're doubting. Just touch me. Thomas didn't need to touch him. Thomas realized right then and there that there's the risen Savior right in front of him. He knew right then and there, my Lord, my God, the scripture says, oh my, he is my Lord and he is my God. The phrase in the scripture says, my Lord, meaning he is Lord of my heart, my God, means he is God of the universe. And there he is right in front of me. I don't need any more confirmation. I have seen enough. The declaration takes place, my Lord, my God, and then the demonstration of his faith takes place. Thomas becomes an evangelist and goes and preaches. He goes out and says, I got something to say. We talked about that on that day. Palm Sunday last week, we talked about this changes everything. Last week, we used the crowd as our example. And I said, the crowd on Palm Sunday, you and I are right in the middle of that crowd. We may have not physically been there on Palm Sunday, but we're physically in the crowd today. And I taught you that there were five Palm Sunday crowds. The inquisitive crowd. Curious, there's people that probably walked in here today. So many people are joining us online. Good morning, Debbie from Colorado. So many others are joining us online. And they're curious. They're curious, maybe even more curious today than ever. We taught that last week, that the Palm Sunday crowd, they were really curious. Really curious. They're very inquisitive. Some were confused. That was the second crowd. Some were just confused. They didn't understand what was going on. So they're hanging around, looking to find out, get more information. There was the pretender crowd there. The pretender crowd was there. They pretend to be followers. They pretend, but they're really not. That's the pretender crowd. The opposition crowd was there, of course, the resistance. The one that hung him on the cross, they were there that day. Of course, the opposition was there. But then the other crowd was there, and that was the committed crowd. I got a feeling there's a lot of committed crowd here today and watching online. Lots of committed crowd people today. But I got a feeling there are some other of you that are throughout the other crowd, and that's okay. Some are seeking, some are believing, some are Jesus people or Easter people, but that is the crowd. And that committed crowd, they are pledged people. They are promised people. I pledge my life to Jesus Christ, and I promise to follow him all the days of my life. I am a committed crowd person. I pledge my life, and I promise to follow. We taught you that. So many examples, church. There's so many examples that we could use. And the people that reached out to me said, Pastor, what about Peter? What about Peter? Yeah, I know who you are. I got those emails. I hear you. What about Peter? Where's Peter, this guy that denied Jesus three times? Shouldn't he be in this story of this series? There's so many people that we could use as examples. But yeah, Peter denied Jesus three times. On Thursday evening, they came and arrested Jesus. The disciples, they scattered, right? And Peter ends up denying Jesus three times. I could have used so many different ones. But we know that story. He denied knowing. People would come up to him and say, you know this guy. No, I don't know him. I don't know him. I heard about him. I just don't know who he is. You were hanging around, the scripture says. Excuse me. You were hanging around. No, not me. I saw you going to church. No, that wasn't me. That's not me. You would think that, you know, can you imagine when the word gets out, Jesus is alive. How did Peter feel? Excuse me. How did Peter feel? Jesus knew how he felt. The scripture says Jesus went looking for him to rescue him. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. He went out looking for him to rescue him, and he did. Jesus found Peter. He rescued him. He was down, he was out, he was just hurting. And Jesus finds him and rescues him. I call that good night failure, good morning grace. Church, you're in the morning of the grace on a Sunday morning today. You're in grace today. I don't care what you did yesterday, Jesus says to me. I don't care what happened a week ago. I just don't care because good night failure, I don't care anymore. But good morning grace, here I am. And that's what he says to you today. It's a new day. And today my sermon title as I wrap up this series on Easter Sunday is called My Show on the Road. My Show on the Road. You know, we've been talking and using some circus themes. Thank you, Pastor Mike. And using some circus themes, you know, the greatest show on earth. And today, my show on the road. And, you know, there's this feeling that when you say my show on the road, you're like, you're ready, right? You're saying, I am prime time and I'm ready to hit the road and put it on the road. My show is going on the road. And I got a feeling there's a bunch of Easter people here today. This is my show could go on the road. And I'm going to show you maybe a little bit different Easter message that you've not heard before, maybe, but maybe not, probably not. But I'm going to show you how the show goes on the road, and it's in Luke 24, 13 through 34. There's a couple of guys leaving Jerusalem, going over to Emmaus, which is 7 miles away. They're having a conversation. And let's read it together. It should be on the screen behind me, and online you should see it right in front of you. It says, now on that same day, that's Resurrection Sunday, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. The resurrection had taken place. There's a lot of confusion and fear. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Can't find his body. Where's he at? All this conversation. We watched them die, right? As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. There's two of them, folks. Jesus shows up and walks with them. I got a feeling he's in the middle. Okay? I don't know. But they were kept from recognizing him, meaning they just didn't understand who he was. And we'll see why here in a second. So he asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? What's going on? They stood there. Their faces were downcast. So they were looking at the ground. Okay? So they didn't recognize him. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only visiting? Like, is this your first time in Jerusalem? Don't you know what has happened there in these last few days? I mean, what planet are you from? It's really what he's saying. Who are you? Now, they're looking at the ground, folks, and walking along, and they stop, and they walk, you know, and this guy's asking questions, and they're not paying any attention. What things, he says. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word. He was powerful in deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And then they crucified him. This is the conversation, folks, going on. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, they're waiting for somebody to show up, folks. And what more? It is the third day since this all took place, his death. And in addition, some of the women were amazed as well. Now they're looping in some of the ladies, certain women. They went to the tomb early that morning, but they didn't find a body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels. And those angels said, he's alive. Then some of our companions went to that tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. There's a lot of commotion, and that's the discussion going on with these two. Now, you know that they're not two of the original disciples, because you'll see that here in a second. They're from a nearby town of Emmaus. Cleopas is probably one of a disciple following Jesus, but not one of the 12, right? Now the 11. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go further. It's like, this is their stop. Jesus is saying, I got to go further, right? He's indicating that he's going to continue on. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. See, back then, folks, it was when it got dark, it got dark. There's no streetlights, right? It's dark. So it's getting evening. And they're saying to Jesus, hey, you better hang out here because it's too dark to walk anymore because you can't see where you're going. They couldn't whip out their iPhone and see, right? There's no flashlights. They're not carrying candles. So they invite Jesus to come into town, stay the night in our home, and then you can venture on the next day, right? So that conversation continues. The day is almost over. Come stay with us. Verse 30, so when he was at their table with them, he goes into their house, he takes some bread, and he gives thanks. Now, got to stop, pause there for a second. He's giving thanks. Jesus is giving thanks. For what? Him. He's giving thanks to them for him, to his Father, who sent him to die on Friday, to rise that day, and hang out with these two guys heading home. downcast and fearful and not understanding and upset, and I thought he was going to be all this grandiose, and he died. Jesus is given thanks. He broke and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They weren't downcast looking at the ground as they walked. They were in their home. They were around the table. They decided to take a look at who is this guy who's giving thanks on this day. And then he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with him on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Verse 31, they got up and they returned once to Jerusalem. It's dark. There's not the iPhone to light the way, and they're taking off going back. They were found, the 11 disciples. So we know that they weren't part of them, that group. But they were followers. They were disciples themselves. They were assembled together, and they were saying, it's true. This Lord has risen, and he appeared to Simon. It's true. It's true, church. He is alive. It's true that he rose on the third day. It's true. It's true. Let's take the show on the road. It's true. It's true. Let's just bow our hearts right now and say a word of prayer. Father God, I believe it's true. Lord, I pray right now that you give us the eyes today to see that it is true. Give us a new perspective today, Lord God. If we walked in here today or tuned online, Lord, I pray right now that our perspective changes. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, they're downcast. They're hurting. They're just hurting, just like you and I, all the time. We have the same feelings, right? A lot of times, folks, we don't see Jesus because our faces are looking down and saying, I got a problem. I got this situation. And we don't recognize that Jesus is right there. It's just, it's common. It really is, right? So I thought I would take that scripture today as they take their show on the road and give you some perspective. Some things you probably have never seen before. Some probably things that will light your life up a little bit and change your perspective. So today I'm going to give you some Easter takeaways on the scripture that I just read. Buckle your seatbelts because here we go. The first thing I notice is the circumstances that we face is not as important as the conclusions we draw. The circumstances is not as important as the conclusions we draw. You are not alone. You have a family wrapped around you, whether it's your biological family or your church family, but all you have to do is reach out and you'll find out that you are not alone. That the circumstances that you are embroiled in is not maybe as bad as you think because you're looking at it a different perspective. And I'm going to show you how that comes out alive in God's word today. And thoughts like this, Jesus came to inform them, but he didn't come to change the situation. He didn't change the reality that he had died. He came to help them see his death and resurrection from a different perspective. Now see, these two guys are walking to Emmaus. And here's what they're saying. The party's over. Yeah, it's a good run, but it's over. I thought this and I thought that, but boy, I said we were partying on Palm Sunday. We were throwing down branches and coats and all this stuff, and there's a lot of applause, and man, we were in a party mode. This is our guy. And now he's gone. The party's over. That's the conclusion. It's a good run, but we're done. And Jesus shows up at that point. And he walks with them, the scripture says. He listened to them as they talked. It's a 7-mile journey. I wonder how long he walked with them before he talked. I wonder how long he walks with us just waiting for us to reach to him. I wonder. Because there's the example. He's walking with them. They don't recognize him, and he starts to talk. He's listening, and now he starts to speak. And then he's challenging their conclusion. He starts to challenge their assumption that the party is over. And they're heading home. Let's look at the scripture. See, you ever notice how they talk? Luke 24:19. This is what they said. We just read it. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. He was this guy. Their conclusion is in Luke 24:21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Right there is past tense. We had hoped this was our guy, but guess what? He's not. We had hoped he would deliver us from our financial situation, but he didn't. We would hope he would heal our body, because he didn't. We would hope that he was going to do all these great things in our family and our situation. He didn't. We'd hoped. Past tense, thoughts like this. They really thought Jesus had a lot of potential. Those miracles he did were great. He was an amazing guy, and it's too bad he died. Too bad. Jesus never said he didn't die. Jesus never said it wasn't a brutal situation that he went through and you watched. He never said that to these guys. He never said, I didn't die. He never said, I wasn't whipped. I didn't have a crown. He didn't say any of that. It was all true. It was reality. It happened. They watched it. But the conclusions that they came up with as a result of what they saw, he was there to say, you got it wrong. The conclusions that you're drawing today as an Easter person, or maybe not, on a situation that you're involved with today may not be accurate. And Jesus was saying to these guys on the trip home, the party's over, the conclusion is not right. The situation is exactly how you saw it, but the conclusion is different than what you think. Same for the women. Let's read about the women. The same for the women. Luke 24:22-24. The women that were there. In addition, some of the women were amazed. Right? They went to the tomb early morning. Mary Magdalene, one of them. But they didn't find his body. They came and told us. They had seen a vision of the angel who said he was now alive. Then some of them, the companions, went to the tomb to check it out. They found out that the women, what they said was accurate, right? They didn't see Jesus either. The conclusion, if you know the scripture, is they took his body out. Like the gardener or somebody else took his body and moved it. This is no way someone could be resurrected from the dead. See, their conclusion was somebody just moved it. It's no longer there. And the angels that they saw, it's probably a tale. It's probably just, early in the morning, still a little sleepy. They didn't see what they thought they saw. That's a conclusion. Same information, different conclusion. See, they saw the same things. They knew the same things, but they drew a different conclusion. Jesus understood they were dealing with something difficult. It's painful. It's bad. But what conclusions were they coming to? What conclusions do we come to, church? They were suffering under the weight of a story that wasn't even true. They were suffering under the weight of a story that wasn't even accurate. How many times do we do that, church? We suffer under a situation that doesn't even turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out, is what that means. Jesus had died. But here's the question this Easter. Who told you it was past tense? That's what Jesus was saying that day. Who told you it was past tense? Who told you it was over? Who told you the party was over? Who said that to you? Jesus knew they were saying. They knew how they were feeling. And he was there to change their conclusions and their assumptions. He was there to say, no, I'm alive. I'm alive. Newsflash, I'm still alive, is what he was there to do. Newsflash today, church, Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. He said to them, I'm still standing. I died, but I'm still alive. Come on, somebody. Jesus is alive, and he's there to tell them he's alive. He's alive. They had the wrong conclusion, the wrong assumption. And how many times do we do that? Why do we use past tense when it comes to Jesus? Why do we, Pastor, I used to have a really good business. My family used to be really good. I had this dream one time. I used to be living my best life. I can't believe this happened. You know, we speak more in past tense than future tense. Jesus doesn't do past tense. Jesus does future. Jesus is about your future. Jesus says, I've got more in front of you than what's behind you. Yesterday's failures, but today's grace. Yesterday looked like this, but today he's risen and grace shows up. That's today. Drawing a conclusion on inaccurate information leads to unnecessary fear. We create it on our own. We draw these assumptions and these conclusions, and as soon as we do that, we're telling Jesus, you are not the guy. You are not the deliverer. You don't have the power that I thought you did. You don't have the things. You don't have the mojo I thought you had. That's exactly what we're telling them. And I'm telling you today, open up your eyes, because it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. You are not alone. Jesus walks with you today. The travelers had it incorrect. The thoughts like this, there's power in taking the same information but coming to a different conclusion. I got this information, but I'm going to see it differently. Chuck Swindoll said it like this, life is 10% what happens and 90% of how we react to it. Those two going back home were saying, it's over. And this guy that believes in the 10% for a 100% shows up and says, no, it's just getting started. You're just looking at it differently. You're looking at it differently. Jesus was invited into their town, and it's dark. And he sits down with them, and he starts to have a conversation with them. And they're around the table. Of course, they're around the table having food, right? Of course we do that. And their eyes were opened. Verse 31 says, their eyes were opened. And then they recognized him. Nothing's changed, right? He still died, brutally. They get out of that house as fast as they can, and they're going to go back to Jerusalem in the dark of the night, and they're going to tell somebody. It's true. The Lord is risen. I can't believe it. I just sat and had bread with him. He broke it, and he said, give thanks. He's there. I know it's true. An eyewitness account, another one. And they went back to tell everybody that they could. You know, I'm going to tell you something. They're going back to Jerusalem. Here's what they did. They passed the funeral home. The one they were just at. They passed the funeral home, right? They passed the hill that he was on and died, right? They went through the streets of Jerusalem. They passed all the same landmarks that they had just seen here earlier. But as they returned, the perspective was completely different. He died on that hill, but he's alive. I went to the calling hours over here, but I don't even know why I went there because he's alive. I don't need to go to those calling hours. He walked these streets. I thought he was gone. I thought he was done. The party was over. But no, the party's just beginning. I just saw him. I just broke bread. It's unbelievable. The perspective changed. Because Jesus showed up in the middle of these two guys at a table in Emmaus. Jesus had died. But Jesus wasn't dead. Here's the second thing I got out of that passage, folks. It says, you know, there's a wrong way to read the Bible. Thoughts like this. The very same thing that they thought stopped Jesus from redeeming Israel was the very thing that was necessary for Israel to be redeemed. They thought he was going to be this military leader. They thought he was going to come in there with sword and fight and deliver them from Roman occupation. They thought. And then when he died, the party's over. It's done. It's over. The death was the redemption. The resurrection was the deliverance. And we looked at it so differently. And we look at it differently to this day. You sit here, you're watching online, and your deliverance, your resurrection into a new life happens when Jesus shows up at your table and says, let's give thanks. And you invited him in. See, we read the Bible differently. Jesus wasn't on a political campaign like they wanted him to be. All those prophecies of this Messiah, all those miracles that they saw, all the revelation that they experienced of this guy, they didn't want it to be because he died. They didn't want that. That was their perception. That was their conclusion. They wanted to see a king's crown without a cross. They wanted that king to wear that king to wear the, but they didn't want it on the cross. That crown, but no cross. They wanted the blessing without a broken Messiah. They wanted to see him on a throne without wearing that crown of thorns, but it wasn't possible because God didn't ordain it like that. Why? Because the sin was too great, and God the Father required a sacrifice, and God the Father allowed a resurrection. Welcome to Sunday morning Easter, church. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. Give him praise today, church. He's alive. Hallelujah. See, we read the Bible thinking it will make our lives better, but Jesus didn't come to make our lives better. Hold on. You got to hear this. He came to save our souls through his resurrection, which in turn makes our lives better. See, we can't read the Bible thinking it's going to change us. Jesus does the changing to make your life better. Right? When you accept the power on the inside, then it flows on the outside. The third thing I saw in this passage, Easter isn't a holiday, church, it's an identity. Easter is not a holiday, it's an identity. It's not once a year, it's every day. It's not a yearly celebration. I don't know about you, but I celebrate it every single day. You've heard me testify before. I wake up today, I thank the good Lord Jesus, he gave me another day. What do you want me to do today, Lord? You gave me another day. I'm alive today because of the resurrection Sunday. We are Easter people. We are changed and empowered. I've never had so much power in my life, church. I've never had so much, you know, power flow through me than I do today. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Thoughts like this, church. You're meant to live in the power of the resurrection. Preach in the power of the resurrection. Parent in the power of the resurrection. Face adversity in the power of the resurrection. Receive deliverance in the power of the resurrection. That's taking ownership of the resurrection and making it personal to your life. That's your show, my show going on the road. Taking ownership of it and displaying it everywhere you go. Luke 24:33 says they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They had something to say. They found the 11, those with them, the 11 disciples, right? Thomas is there because his friends went and got him. Judas is no longer with him. He betrayed Jesus. Now he's dead. And these two guys from Emmaus go running home back to Jesus, back to Jerusalem, not their personal home. And they found the guys to tell them, they're taking the show on the road. I've got something to say. They returned to Jerusalem and found the other 7. Church, when we leave here today, we'll feel like Easter is over. I'm going to tell you, it's just beginning. It's just beginning. It's your perception. It's the conclusion that you draw today when you leave the sanctuary and turn off your device. Is this it? No, it's just beginning. Your Easter just started. Your Easter just started. I love the saying, my show on the road. The title of the message today. Because in Luke 24:34, it says, it's true. The Lord has risen. That is the show on the road, church. Easter isn't a holiday, it's an identity which never ends. It's who we are. If you went to the VIP center today, you would see these little hearts. We're blessed by somebody in our church that makes these, and they're these little hearts, and today it says, Easter person. Grab one before you leave. I am a proud Easter person. The situations in my life don't change. There's still situations. I still have challenges. We all have, right? We have those trials, those tribulations. We feel alone. We have those in our life, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm never alone. I'm an Easter person. Jesus showed up for me. Jesus rose on the third day for me and for everybody here. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead has been called the greatest witnessed fact in the history of mankind. It's the greatest event. You're not going to even fathom how great of an event that really was until you get to the other side. Because the Bible says to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. You will see Jesus, whether you're an Easter person today or not. If you're an Easter person today and you see Jesus, he's going to say, "Welcome into my kingdom." You're an Easter person. And I gave you an Easter rescue. You took your show on the road and you transformed lives. Come on in. There's your reward. If you're not an Easter person today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to become one, because I don't want to see anybody miss the greatest show in the history of the universe. Remember Peter, the guy that denied Jesus three times? What's he doing? Jesus rescued him. He found them. He gave him grace. He gave him another opportunity. So it says in 1 Peter 1:8, Peter says it like this: you love him even though you've never seen him. That's an Easter person. Though you don't see him now, you still trust him. I do. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I do. Today, folks, my invitation to you is a life of joy. Not always without pain, but joy that will thrive in the middle of your suffering. And if you invite Jesus into your heart on the authority of God's word, I can tell you your sins will be forgiven and your eyes will be open, and you will see something different, and you will not even understand some of the things that God will reveal to you. You will have a new life. He'll give you a new heart, and he'll give you a new life. I'm a witnessed Easter person of an Easter rescue. It's different. I'm going to give you the opportunity today, folks, here in the house, watching online. We're going to do this all together, so no one's feeling singled out. I'm going to give you the opportunity in the privacy of the pew you're sitting in or where you're at online, so many watching today. On Easter Sunday 2024, through the eyes of this Easter person and many others today, we're going to give you the opportunity to be an Easter person experiencing an Easter rescue. Bow your hearts with me, church. And all you have to do is repeat after me and just believe it in your heart. Dear Lord God, please open up my eyes. I know I've done some things wrong. I know I've done some sins. I can't go back and fix it. But I know you can. God, come into my heart. Make me new again. Lord, I give myself to you. I want to be an Easter person. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if you meant that today, you have just been ushered into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Your eyes are going to be open. You're going to see things at a different perspective, a different conclusion. It's not going to be the same. Your situation is going to be there when you leave or shut off your device today, but you now have a conclusion that you didn't have before. You have an adversary of Jesus Christ that you didn't have before. You have something that you didn't have before. Your eyes are open. Now, church, allow Jesus to walk the road with you and change you and help you see things differently than you see them today. Don't waste it. Don't leave here and say Easter's over. walk out into the parking lot, get in your car and say, it's just beginning. It's just beginning. On behalf of my wife and the leadership here and the board of this church, we thank you for coming today. We thank you for joining us for Easter service. If you turned on your device today, thank you so much for spending a little bit of a time with us and experiencing the Easter rescue that we experience here. Dear, you want to say anything?
We love you, and we just pray that you've been blessed and your eyes have been opened to the goodness of God.
Yes. Happy Hallelujah. Easter. Church, stand with me today. Let's go out of here today and celebrating and sing the song, This Now Is My God. Be blessed
this
today.
This is our God. This is who he is.